Hello, this is Jen Morgan, and you're listening to Radically Distinct Radio. I'm here today with Desmond Murray, and we're going to talk about competition, passion, and the things that drive us.
Hello, happy to be here.
Hi, Desmond.
Hey, Jen, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. What's been up?
Well, you know, just chilling, making a podcast.
I like it.
Desmond, where are you from?
So that's a tough question. I get it a lot. So I'm originally from Europe. I was born in Germany, lived there most of my childhood. Moved to the States when I was 13, Tacoma specifically. Went to high school out here before going off to college in Memphis and then Portland.
Okay. Wow. That was a long list. So let me just remember Germany originally.
Yeah. My mother was in the army.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But you do not have a German accent.
No. See, that's the beauty of the army and their military bases. So I was around a bunch of Americans just on another continent.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Have you been there as an adult?
No, I haven't.
Mm-hmm. No, not yet. Okay. What do you do?
I am an engineering recruiter for Google.
All right. Engineer recruiting. Mm-hmm. Is that a competitive field?
Yeah. The market is very competitive for technical engineers, software engineers, application engineers, mobile engineers. As you know, living here, there's Amazon and Facebook and Microsoft. It's a really competitive industry.
Is it hard or is it, which side is it competitive to get? Is it hard to get the job or is it hard to find the people?
Both, right? I think it depends on where your bar is and what you're looking for. Usually software engineers who are looking for the toughest and the most influential and impactful projects and product areas that they'll be working on, they're going to be looking for the top tier companies to work for to make that impact. Whereas your run-of-the-mill software engineer can work for a consulting company or a startup out here and get a job a little bit easier.
Okay. And so what makes you good as a recruiter?
I wouldn't necessarily say I'm good at recruiting.
But you work at Google. So, I mean, that's kind of top of the line business.
Yeah, it's only my fourth week. They don't really know yet. I may have pulled the wool over their head.
Okay.
I put in the work. Really, I think anybody who works in the recruiting industry knows that, sometimes the task can be repetitive and mundane, but the more you can just apply yourself and put in the work, you're going to get results. And I think, that's kind of with anything, right?
Well, it sounds like it. It sounds like it. That's how you think about it.
Yeah.
Are you a pretty competitive person?
Yeah, I am. I think most of the people within my circle, most people who I kind of surround myself around are just naturally competitive. So,
and how do you tell that what are qualities of a naturally competitive person?
From my perspective, it's just a drive and a passion to succeed, I guess. Regardless of what your perspective of success is. I mean, just wanting to be the best version of yourself. So
competitive with yourself, not necessarily with your friends or with your friends too?
Both, right? Because I think if you don't have individuals to compare yourself to, then you have to look internally and, look yourself in the mirror and just, or if you're satisfied with where you are, or if you strive for more, I think each individual is, everyone's different, right? I mean, some people have families that they have to look out for and provide for. I don't have that, right? It's just me. Mm-hmm. So I don't have that extra kick from society or from any pressures from a household that tell me I need to do more. It's more so just me wanting more out of life.
Okay.
So.
Well, what is that? What drives you to want more out of life?
I was raised that way, I guess. I grew up with three other brothers. I grew up, playing sports. I moved around a lot. I always made new friends. I had to, just because of, the nature of my mom being in the military and having to move, so not having a say in it. So, that's just how I was kind of programmed at an early age.
Okay, but if I just like poof, like you're now like in another planet, would you not be competitive? You know, like all of a sudden, like you don't have that life anymore. You've lost your entire memory bank and there's a bunch of people walking around with you on another planet you've never been before. Like, would you just like go hide in a hole or would you?
Oh, I don't know. That's tough to say because I am who I am because of my experiences, because of the people around me. So, you know, I'm essentially a little bit of everything and everyone in my life. That's what makes me me. And I think that's what makes everyone who they are, right? You wouldn't be who you were if it wasn't for everything that you've gone through in life, right?
Sure. Yeah, I can see that. What I'm trying to figure out is, you know, okay, you have a competitive, you said you were in sports before, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So tell me about how your sports background. Do you know, did you stop at high school or did you continue forward? Did you get scouted? Were you recruited?
I was recruited. Yeah. I played college basketball. I was recruited for both basketball and football. I decided to go basketball because I had just a deeper passion for basketball and I wasn't really too keen on playing football outdoors. I know that sounds ridiculous, but you put on all those pads and shit in the wintertime. It's just, it's not really for me. I know the listeners can't see me, but I'm a slim dude, man. And being out there in the winter with all that stuff on, and it just wasn't for me. So anyway, yeah, I was recruited fairly heavily and went and played ball in Memphis. And then I played at a small D2 school, private school in Portland. But yeah, I grew up in sports my whole life. So,
well, why did you get recruited?
Because I was good.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did they qualify good?
Being better than the other people, the other players.
Okay. Well, okay. So just now talk to a person who doesn't know how we qualify good in sports. You know, what does that mean? Like you scored the most three-point shots well, in a year. You're the fastest guy on the team.
No,
what?
I think you qualify. It's very simple, right? I mean, you can take away sports from anything. You know, you can take away anything, right? If you look at a group of people, and out of that group of people, whoever's excelling the most, you know, they're going to be the better of the group, right? I mean, when puppies are born, there's always the runt, right? And that's just off of being born. That's okay. Just living, so.
Okay. So you don't actually know what makes you competitive is what you're saying. You just are.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. I mean,
what are some differences between you and maybe one of your friends who you don't think is as competitive as you? Like maybe somebody you played basketball with who didn't get as far as you.
Oh, that's a really good. Okay. That's a good question. So I think the drive to want to just to do more. So for example, I still get up every day at 5 a.m. I've been programmed to get up at 5 a.m. since I was a little kid. My dad got my brothers and I up at 5 to walk the dog, to do chores, and to work out. So after a while, it just became part of my DNA. Some people didn't grow up in that type of environment. Some of my friends did grow up in that environment, but they are the ones who instilled that discipline in themselves. They got up early to go catch the train from the rural parts of Illinois to the city of Chicago because that's where the best run was for basketball. And they had a passion for it. I had some friends who grew up in the city who just dribbled a ball around all the time because they had a passion for it. I had some friends whose parents pushed them into sports. They had all the resources available to them, all the money, all the everything, but they didn't have a passion for it, so they didn't succeed. They didn't excel. So I think those who have a distinct passion for something, they're naturally going to excel at it because they care about it and they love it so much. And regardless of what that passion or what that something is, it could be life, right? Some people just live life very passionately, which is why they succeed at things because they want to do things to live that life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. So, all right. What makes you decide? I imagine that in quite a few things you're competitive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you say everything you do you're competitive in?
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
okay. So what makes you decide to like go 100% into something versus just dip your toe in and try it out a little bit?
If I care.
If you care.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because if you don't care, right, you're not gonna, you won't have passion for it. You won't. And if you don't have passion for it, then it doesn't really matter. Right.
So what is this passion that you have that you bring to everything that you do that drives you to be competitive, to rise to the top? Is it status?
No, I mean, I have a my friends and I are fairly close, and I've got brothers, right? Younger brothers. So I have to be a role model for my younger brothers, for the male figures. The younger male figures in my family, cousins and everything like that, they look to me as a role model in a sense. You know, I got a job at Google. That's, I think it's more of a big deal to them than it is to me. So to excel at it, would I have to, right? I have to excel because I'm an example to them. My friends, they pat me on the back for this accomplishment, right? And that's all fine and dandy, but if I don't succeed and I don't excel at the position that I'm in, you know, then it's all for nothing, right? So there's that drive to not necessarily take the congratulatory messaging that I've been receiving since landing this job and having it go and fall to the wayside because I fucked around and tricked it off.
It sounds like you've developed like a really good, like, I don't know, humility. Does that help you? Because you're very competitive, because that can sometimes come across to other people as abrasive, arrogant. Yeah. So have you learned to be more, have more humility? Or is that part of your personality? Maybe what drives you to excel? Because people actually have to support somebody who excels, right? It's not just, you can't really get there on your own. Would you agree?
Yeah, well, I was, Mom, I think we touched on this as far as being born in Europe. My mother was a single parent for a while. So when we moved around, I spent time with my grandparents, who are very Southern Baptist, old school. And I mean, they grew up in the Jim Crow laws, civil rights movement, all that other stuff. I mean, they were adults going through this shit. And so I was always taught that I've got to be twice as good. I've always was raised to assimilate because of moving around. You know, I've always had to adjust and fit into any environment naturally at a young age. And so I think I've just kind of molded those traits based off of how I was raised and the environments I've been put in. It's not necessarily a conscious effort that I've made. It's just, it's, you know, just my makeup.
Just your makeup. Do you meet people who are very competitive without that sense of humility that you do?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think we all do.
And what is your opinion about that type of a personality?
Hey, different strokes for different folks, man.
Well, I guess what I mean is, do you feel like, so you see a lot of competitive people in recruiting, right? People who are trying to get a job. And I would imagine a lot of people need to come across as confident and capable and can be quite arrogant. Mm-hmm. Do you also look for a sense of humility to know that they can work well with other people? Like, are there other characteristics? Because obviously you have to be competitive to get your ideas to move through at the highest places, you know, like Google. Right?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. But Google is a very collaborative and inclusive environment. And people who are abrasive and who feel like their ideas are essentially better than the teams, they don't excel at Google because that's not the type of culture that they have created there. When I was working on the agency side as a recruiter, yes, you know, those type of people, you know, come in hired guns, if you will, or brought in for 3-4 month long projects, get the job done, then they're out. But I think what I've always found and what I've always looked for in people, regardless of who the end client was just that humanity side, right? I mean, we're all human beings, and you have to level with everyone that you meet. Everybody has a leveling point. You know, everyone has a point where they see eye to eye with someone. And, you know, I feel like if you just treat people like people, regardless of how abrasive they are, or regardless of how quiet and timid they are, you see eye to eye and you find commonality, then you're going to be able to gel and have an understanding. So in working with people, I found that to be really the common factor in how you, you know, communicate and see eye to eye. So,
and so you're, what you're saying about if somebody is more or less arrogant or in their competitiveness when they show up, it would based on a fit for an organization, because some organizations would want that and some organizations would not, like you're saying Google, for example.
Yeah, and most people are that way for a reason. I mean, some people, you know, are arrogant and abrasive because that's how their father was, or that's how, you know, I don't know, you know, figures in their life that they looked up to, or they've gone through something traumatic in their life that has caused them to carry themselves that way. Or, you know, no offense to anybody here or listening, but, you know, any single, you know, only children, right? I mean, some people didn't have siblings, and so, you know, they just didn't know how to play with others and their peers. So,
I get you're being very accepting and like you don't want to say anything, like, but as a recruiter, like, you got to get real with people. They're either a fit or they're not.
But
so
that,
like,
goes back to being, you know, that human aspect. Everybody wants you to be real with them. Nobody wants to hear the bullshit.
Right.
And that's basically what it is. I'm very, very real and transparent with people who I work with.
Yeah. So you see through the bullshit. So it's more like, as a recruiter, being able to get people to like let down their masks to see
exactly
who they are. You're good at that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So let's go back to, I have a question about when you were playing sports. Mm-hmm. How did you take losing?
Early on, I hated it. When I got to college, we weren't that good of a team. So it became somewhat it just happened a lot. It was a common theme.
Losing. Okay.
Yeah, we were a sub-500 team my whole college career.
Okay. And how did you handle that?
It was frustrating. It was really, really frustrating because we were so much better, you know.
You could have been better, you mean? Like the team?
Yeah, but I mean, we were so much better. We were just losing a lot of games just on some dumb shit, really.
And how did you handle it? Like, how did you show up?
Well, I dealt with a lot of stress in college by smoking a lot of pot.
Okay.
I mean, I think we all, you know, we all have our vices,
yeah,
you know, so yeah, I got baked.
Okay. So you just like push it down. You're like, okay.
Yeah. We'll deal with this shit. We'll get through it.
Okay. And what about winning? How do you deal with winning?
Oh, I love to win. Everybody loves to win.
Okay, and how does it express itself? You know, do you talk trash to the other team when you win? Celebratory? And
yeah, every situation is different. I mean, there were times in games where I would just grab my dick to the other crowd, you know. You know, I would really be that dude out there, like Nick Van Exel type. And then there were some times, you know, where you have so much respect for the competition because they pulled that much out of you, you know, that you can't, just out of respect, you know, you don't do stuff like that. So every situation is different.
Well, how do you get your game face on? Like, how do you like prepare? You know, like if you're playing a game, you might literally want to like kill the other person. But mm-hmm. when you're off the court, you're just chill, right? I mean, generally speaking, you're not going to try to do the same thing. You're not going to have the same behavior towards your competitors off the court as you would on the court, right? So how do you get into that mode?
Well, it's different when you're playing a game. It's a game, right? But I think in life, if it's your job to be competitive, like if you are in sales or you're delivering this software that everyone else in the industry is trying to deliver, I think you just like you wake up. Right. I think in life, if you're competitive naturally, you just wake up and you're going to be competitive. If you are delivering this software that needs to be the most cutting edge software in the industry, you know, you walk in the door and it cuts on. I can't.
Well, OK, but for you, it's very natural. But what I'm wondering is, like, let's say like your girlfriend dumped you and you're about to go like play like a championship game. Mm-hmm. She just happened to be dumping you the night before.
Yeah.
And you're emotionally not fully present for the game, or you have to get yourself fully present for the game. Like, how do you bring it? Like, how do you?
I see. That's a tough question because I can't really relate to those who have to get up for competition. People who need that motivation, need an additional motivation outside of the competition itself. I don't, Yeah, that shit just doesn't register with me. I don't understand how it doesn't come naturally. It's like, for example, if somebody needs motivation to lift something heavy off of them, outside of just the idea that this shit is crushing you, if you need more motivation than that, I don't know it. I don't know why. I can't relate to that.
Okay, but can you relate to having like something big that you have to do the next day, but something is like you can't focus on it because of that? Do you have any relation to that? You know, maybe it's like a job interview the next day and something unexpected the night before happened. You get a car crash, like.
Well, yeah, if you don't care about the shit, then you're not going to do it. You know.
Well, it's not really maybe about the motivation, but more like how do you not be distracted when you're playing game? How do you be fully present and in literally fight mode? You know, like I'm going to win mode.
Well, yeah, I think that's it's kind of different because. For example, if you are fighting for your life in the ocean, you don't need to be present because you're fighting for your life. Mm-hmm. If you're playing a game and you're up by 20, it's still a game, but you don't need to be present fully because you're up by 20. Does that make sense?
I think it makes sense, but what I'm like, let's say the pressure is on. The pressure is on. Like, you have to bring it. Like, there is no, like, maybe there's a 20 point gap. There's no such thing. And, like, it's the worst thing ever. It's the most drama you've ever had in your entire life. And you never normally have drama in your life. And so you're not used to dealing with the drama. And all of a sudden, you show up and you have to play a winning game. And you have to figure out how I'm going to get out of this type of energy into this other energy so that I can do a slam dunk on your head.
Yeah.
Like, how do you do that?
I think the mindset, those who are competitive don't need to have a reason to be competitive. Does that make sense?
I don't know. I think I'm just trying to figure out, can you use that same desire to slam dunk on someone else in other area of your life? And if you can, what are you doing? What actually is happening in that moment? Physically, in your body.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I think the fear of failing or the fear of losing is what gets you up, is what should get anyone up. If you are just okay with losing that game, or you're just okay with not getting the job that you have the interview scheduled for, if you're just okay with life in general and you don't want to make a change, well, then yes. You are going to easily be affected by any outside shit that's floating around outside of what that focus is. So, to answer your question, I guess if you are just okay, you're very laissez-faire with everything, then you probably need some sort of motivation. I'm not laissez-faire and okay with shit like that, so I can't come up with an answer for that.
So what you're saying is what drives you is to absolutely not be mediocre. Absolutely. Like, I mean, you know, excel.
I guess if that's how you view it, I guess. Yeah.
I mean, you could say it better. You could say it better. You know, like what you're saying is like worst case scenario, mediocre. Best case scenario, slam dunk.
No, what I'm saying is mediocre is not an option.
Mediocre is not an option. Nice. Well, I thought that's quite radically distinct. And I think that's a great place to say thank you so much for being here today. You have been a great guest. I've learned quite a bit from you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's been great being here. Anytime.
One thing that I've learned as a consultant, a coach, and my single woman in the world is that people who actually create the reality that they want or the results that they want are people who are capable of channeling their emotions constructively. Your emotional energy or your passion, like they have this way of being able to put that into what it is that they want 100%. And I've found that people who do that well are comfortable with competition. Being comfortable with competition leads to an objective perspective of who you are and what you're capable of in a context of other people. You're better at using your emotions to identify your limitations and making conscious decisions to engage with them and learn and grow beyond your boundaries. people who don't have that perspective have a hard time making effective decisions, editing out the people and the situations that do not lead them to where they want to go. And therefore, their emotions help make them limit what is possible for them, because they're always at the effect of how they feel about what they're doing. Learning and growing are mandatory if you want to be your most powerful brand. And bringing all of your emotional energy into what you're doing is mandatory if you want to be your most powerful brand. So embracing competition is something that everyone can benefit from. In my interview with Desmond, what I wanted to know was, what drives somebody who's comfortable with competition, who every single day wakes up and believes that he is in competition? What drives them? And what I learned is, for people like Desmond, mediocrity is not an option. Hey, this is Jen Morgan. I want to empower you to be radically distinct. And there are many ways for us to work together. Whether you're an individual working on your career path or your life status, or you're a team or an organization, get a hold of me, jenmorgan.com. That's Jen with two N's, morgan.com. Email me, j@jenmorgan.com, and follow the show on Instagram and Facebook @radicallydistinct.